I was heading, I got an invitation to the blues. An invitation to the blues.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Coming up next, the new WHFR Journal. Local news and views. Alternative views.
I don't think this box is on.
Welcome to a new 2009 edition of the new WHFR Journal. Today is Friday, January the 2nd, as we're doing the show live, as we usually always do on Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m. here at WHFR. We are the public affairs show. We do our affairs in public. We make public the affairs of the community, rather. And I'm joined here in the studio with my WHFR news director and frequent co-host, Susan Morrell. Hi, Susan.
Happy New Year, Jay, and Happy New Year to all of our wonderful WHFR loyal listeners. Glad to be here. We've had a very cold holiday season here in Michigan. If you're listening on the internet, it is very cold here.
Yeah, we had a tremendous amount of snow that luckily melted in about 2 days of rain there, which was very weird.
160-degree day, yeah. After all, 3 feet of snow, right?
Yeah, it was quite unusual, so we're just building back up in terms of snowfall now, but it's not, I think there's some sleet forecast, late snow in the next couple of days, but we won't worry about that. That's what we would sort of expect about Michigan in January. I did watch a very discouraging documentary, and I've watched it before, but it's just very discouraging. Some of the best scientists and science popularizers in the United States were commenting on the Discovery Channel about the end of the world.
Oh, yes, it's coming.
Well, yeah, and they said, yeah, we're all going to die. That's the bad news, but the happy news is it may be anywhere from a couple hundred million to a couple billion years away. So, but they also pointed out that every species has died off one way or the other. So even if the planet survives, something is going to get us. And I think if anyone watched that and was really bummed out, it was done with very good spirit, and it's all hard science that they were presenting, at least as far as we know science now, about, whether meteorites might hit us, asteroids, meteorites, or alien invasion, or the sun will explode, or the super volcano that is building under Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, yeah. I love volcanoes.
Well, this is going to be a really big bang. These sorts of things don't happen except every couple thousand years, and they really do make the whole world a lot colder for anywhere from 5 to 10 years or more because of all the volcanic dust that goes in the atmosphere, sort of shielding the sunlight and therefore the warmth from the planet. So it will not be pleasant. And in addition, if that blows, and it's going to sometime in the next 200 years. I mean, I visited Yellowstone National Park. I was there with the park rangers. I took the tours. Even in their visitor information center, they're saying, oh, yeah, yeah. Our studies every day show that the volcano is getting underground bigger and bigger. And it's not like your typical volcano that, just from one spot, little smoke comes up or some lava comes down. This is going to be an explosion equal to many, many atomic bombs without, of course, the radiation, but it's still going to have the dust and the heat. And they think that perhaps once it goes, for example, even short term, the whole western third, at least, if not the western half of the United States, will be uninhabitable.
Well, so yes, it's good thing that it did not happen when you were there.
Yeah, it was just bubbling and smoking and and things like that. And
I don't really want to see that
I have video of it. If anybody would like to
video is fine. Video is okay.
Yeah. In fact, it's interesting with all these other larger disasters. Nobody's talking about like the state of California, the San Andreas Fault having a volcano, an earthquake there that will fall into the sea, because we've already seen the movies of it. So hey, it's an old issue. You know, we don't even talk.
Nobody talks about it anymore. But
the San Andreas Fault.
No. But what I did not know was that there's a huge fault up by Washington State and Portland, Oregon, and those states, and it's going to cause a giant tsunami when there is an earthquake there. There's going to be a giant tsunami, and it's probably going to take out those two states, the tsunami. The water is going to be so 30 feet high.
I heard something about that. So, and, you know, who said there might not be excitement in 2009? I mean, you know.
But, Jay, I thought I heard a report that there was supposed to be an asteroid or a meteorite hitting the Earth around 2034, 2036. A biggie.
Well, there's several that seem to be going to come close. And the problem is that some of them can sort of sneak up on us and we wouldn't see them. The astronomers wouldn't necessarily, because they don't have any light. They don't, they're not a sun or something. So if they're not real reflective, or like they're all dark black or something, and they could sneak up on us and we wouldn't see them coming until about maybe a month or two or 3 months before. And then it would be too late to even do anything, about that. The latest thing in the New York Times, and we're just doing this because it's the start of a new year and everybody's trying to figure out what way to live their life. But the best thing to do is the best thing you can do on the short term. And, you know, these bigger issues, we can't do too much about. It wouldn't hurt to have a team of astronomers, many, many more than we have now, that are employed constantly watching out for asteroids coming our way. So we might have some lead time to do something like one of the Hollywood movies. We'll send Bruce Willis up there with a drilling team to put an atomic bomb in the
He's
meteor.
The only one that I have confidence in at this point.
Yeah, and I personally, I have no problem with sending him out in outer space,
We can't even resolve our own economic problems. How can we resolve outer space? Hello?
Yeah, well, let's try to keep it positive around here. We do get letters. We get emails here at this program, which is WHFR Journal, and our email is just WHFR. That's the call letters of our station at HFCC, which stands for Henry Ford Community College, .edu, which stands for Educational Institution. So that's WHFR at HFCC.edu. If you do want to communicate about our show, questions, comments, so we have several loyal listeners that do this every now and then whenever I overspeak or underspeak. And in case there aren't any newspapers left, and we're going to go into this after we use the Dearborn Press and Guide for a few stories here today, we have some comments from Jim Hightower, the nationally known syndicated progressive commentator, and he talks about the death of journalism, and he mentions Detroit too, and the News Free Press issues here. But
the whole death of the whole journalism profession, is that what he's saying?
Yeah, and for several reasons. Well, readership is down on all local newspapers throughout the U.S. Subscribers are down, and that's constant cash flow you can count on if someone's a subscriber, and so they're all hurting for staying in business. And of course, the
everybody's going to the internet.
The parent company of LA Times, and their situation was different. I mentioned this. Excuse me, Mike. I should have turned that off. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Is that they've already filed for bankruptcy, and they are the LA Times, the largest, physically the largest newspaper in the United States, and most number of pages, most number of ads too. And if they can't survive, that sort of raises questions to all the other papers. And what will be the future of news and information? And Hightower bring up some things, and we can make comments after we listen to that. But I made a comment that, gee, if there's no local papers, how are we going to find out about what's happening at the city council? And, of course, if you don't want to go physically to the city council meeting, Mary Jo in Dearborn sent me an email, and it's certainly true that from the City of Dearborn website, that cityofdearborn.org, okay, all one word or no dots or dashes or underscores, cityofdearborn.org, they do have the CDTV, which is City of Dearborn Television, the cable programming people over there, cable production program. And by the way, their office is located in the northwest corner of the Henry Ford Centennial Library. I knew that they had closed down their studio, and I didn't know that, but they have an office here, and they have a telephone number even for it, which I don't need to give out. But the point is that if you go to the cityofdearborn.org website, you can see, at least here, the last couple of city council meetings. The printout that Mary Jo sent to me listed 12:15:08 and 12:01:08. I don't know if they've met over the holidays since then, but those are the last two. And the 12:01 was only 44 minutes long, and the 12:15 council meeting was only an hour and 11. Now, if you're watching cable television, though, you can watch them because they have them repeating every night, it seems.
Yes.
I mean, constantly.
Constantly.
They really do. And my problem is, just for the record, is that you need a professional journalist to be there physically, because what the camera sees is not everything that's going on, and nor what's being spoken. The camera can only look in one direction. The camera doesn't frequently go in for the close-ups because, you know, if somebody's lying, you've got to look at the whites of their eyes. You've got to be in a tight close-up, and they have all those cameras sort of fixed, and you're way far away. So I'm not just talking about council members. There's a somewhat tighter close-up on the speaker's podium. When someone from the audience comes up to make a comment, they have a somewhat tighter shot, a little more than head and shoulders, so it's not really a good tight close-up where you can see if they're lying or sweating or crying or something. And that's not just for dramatic or emotional reasons that you need that, but to get the real feeling for what's going on and the whole atmosphere and environment of the situation, you need a news reporter. You need someone who's professionally trained to take notes on the whole spectrum of what's going on and who does it regularly. Every single time they meet, hopefully the same person, so they can compare about what happened in the past, and so they have that backlog of news and information. Just like listening to this show, I've been a Dearborn resident since 1979. I have kept up with the newspapers. I have talked to, on the show, thanks to their willingness to appear here, mayors and representatives, city council members, and so on. And so even though that's somewhat limited experience, it is something. And because I have this background of experience and knowledge, limited though it may be or spotty as it may be, it's somehow, you know, better than, well, even some of the newspaper reporters that don't have that. But if they go there in person and professionally take notes and ask questions maybe afterwards even, you know, for some of the great quotes that they get on the paper that actually happen after the meeting, that's more than what the average person could get, and it's more than what you can get by watching these cable TV shows through the internet. But if you don't have cable, and in fact, it may be true that someone here at the college that works for the City of Dearborn and is on a lot of the cable TV shows, and I won't mention his name, but good friend, he doesn't have cable yet. He's sort of anti-technology, and so he doesn't know. He's never seen himself in any of these City of Dearborn programs because he doesn't have cable at his house.
Okay, that's a little bit odd, but...
Well, he's saving money, I have to admit. The cable prices are going up and up. I see even my WOW cable in Dearborn, it's $3 more a month starting this month.
Yeah, but I mean, if you really want to be informed, I don't know how you can be without cable.
That's true, yeah. And we want to talk about the story about what's happening to regular broadcast TV. Like this person that I'm referring to, he has broadcast television that he watches. He won't be able to watch that at all after February 17th.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about
that.
It's
going to go dead. So.
Let's talk about
okay,
that.
But so thank you, Mary Jo, for pointing that out, and I should have mentioned it. It is better than nothing if you don't have cable to watch it, the video of it. You can watch it at your leisure. You can download the file and watch little clips back and forth anytime you want through the internet from cityofdearborn.org. Going on to the press and guide from Wednesday, December 31st. I know this is last year's news. Talk
that
about
seems like such a long time ago.
Goodbye, farewell, adieu to 2008.
You know, everybody was so glad to see 2008 go. I mean, what a horrific year in terms of news that we had here in America and even around the world with all the economic calamities.
Yeah, we can only hope that things have nowhere to go but up, you know, from
well,
now.
Well, that
but
is certainly is the big hope.
There's still a little way to go further down, unfortunately, but we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, we won't talk about it.
Yeah. In the stories, they're continuing in the press and guide with their 2008 in review. We're not going to cover those. You've already heard them here on the show. A couple stories about Dearborn Heights are on the front page. A little bit of a story about the fire department's retirement plan to request that an age waiver be granted for Dearborn Heights firefighters William Branham, John Bundus, and Stephen Lobkovich was referred to a study session December 9th after some city council members expressed concern with the process. They said, "I want to know if it's even legal for us to do this." That was according to Councilman Bob Brown during the December 9th meeting. According to a letter sent to the council on the December 9th meeting, Branham, Bundus, and Lobkovich are eligible to participate in the Deferred Retirement Option Plan, which interestingly is called DROP. They're going to drop from service. that's the name of the plan, the Deferred Retirement Option Plan. Can't remember what it was called here at the college. I took that option last year, and it was last year, 2008, to retire from my full-time position at Henry Ford Community College. Still station advisor, as always, there. You know, can't get rid of me that easily. But ours was called VESP or something like that. It didn't come out to a nice name like DROP. Anyway, that's a supplemental benefit program available to employees who are eligible for retirement but who agree to defer their retirement benefits and continue working and receiving active employee wages for an agreed-upon amount of time up to 6 years. Oh, that's different. Excuse me. That's very interesting. Wouldn't you like one of these, folks? Deferred Retirement Option Plan, a supplemental benefit available to employees who are eligible for retirement, but who agree to defer their retirement benefits and continue working and receiving active employee wages. Oh, is to keep, qualified firefighters on duty longer. So we're paying them an extra supplement to stay rather than retire now. Interesting.
Well, they are trained personnel.
Well, you have to have you can't lose all of your senior staff, you know, too quickly. That experience, especially in fighting fires, which is a life or death thing, and I've commended our firefighters several times. We had Dearborn Heights Fire Chief Andy Gurka here on the air, in fact, in early December, and of course didn't ask him about this, but I'm not sure it came up by December 9th. He might have been here before that. He was here before. He was in end of November. The employee then has a sum of money credited during each year of continued employment to a separate account under the employee's current retirement plan. The account is paid to the employee in addition to whatever benefit the employee has acquired under the plan based on earlier years of service when the employee eventually retires. Now, they've anticipated drop dates of January 1, 2009, at which time they will have attained at least 25 years of service and be between 46 and 49 years old. So they get to retire pretty young. In the state of Michigan, at least the plan I was under as a teacher, I had to be 55 at least. Well, I passed that by a few years. That's true. According to Dearborn Heights Mayor Dan Paletko, the age waiver becomes beneficial to the city in the event the firefighter is injured and unable to complete their five-year commitment to the drop program. But some council members said they were uncomfortable with the process. Oh, let's find out just a little more about that. and they requested a study session with the Act 345 pension attorney to discuss the issue. And they don't know when they're going to talk about it again. But that's a very interesting retirement option. It's actually keeping senior members longer. They could leave earlier. Something about the process, and it's not specified here really what they think is wrong, what the city council members think is wrong. I guess it seems like double dipping to the average person. They're working at their regular job, and they're getting more money to keep them from retiring just because they could retire if they wanted to. Now, again, I've expressed the very practical reason that I think, it doesn't say in the story, might be the case, and that is to keep the senior members there for the experience that they have and can continue to apply. And of course, these days, everybody needs as much money built up as possible before they do retire, because retirement money is never as much as full-time work. And in fact, until you turn 66, you can't work full-time without having money taken out of your retirement benefits.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, if you make too much money, it's over, I think, $13,000 a year or something like that, in supplemental after you retire, with the Social Security plan, the federal pension plan. If you make over $13,000 something a year, then they're going to ask for a large portion of their Social Security benefits back. Okay. Now, I just found out, and this is a senior thing, so all you seniors perk up here, that nobody tells you that even they say, well, I got to give it back. I'm not going to work the extra, hours or get a full-time job if they're just going to, after I've officially retired, if they're just going to take back their Social Security money. The point is, if you're working enough before your magic retirement age, and for me it's 66 that I could start working full-time, that age keeps creeping up, though, for new retirees, for people born after me. It might be 67 for some of you folks out there, or 68. But the point is, when you turn 66, in my case, if I had been working full-time, retired, but I found another full-time job, I'm still getting Social Security, it's true I got to pay back a lot of the Social Security money, but I get all that money back in a check when I turn 66.
Oh, you get it all back?
That's what I just read, and I haven't...
Well, let's verify that one.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
So,
but isn't it still taxable after the age of 66?
No, it's Social Security money. I mean, it's money from the government that's not taxable.
It's not taxable?
If they take it away from you because you made too much money in any year after you retired, they're going to give it all back to you. And I don't know if they give it back at one time or what, but they're going to give it all back. They are going to give it back all back to you one way or the other when you turn your magic age of 66 or whatever. So you're not going to actually lose that. And I read that in some place like Smart Money or Money Magazine, is that they're always scaring you away from looking for employment, even full employment, after you retire from your main job. That shouldn't be an issue. Yes, okay, you got to give some money back, but if you're, find a full-time job after you've retired, who cares, right? You're making a good deal of money, and you will get any of that money you have to give back returned back to you at age 66 or whatever.
Well, I think I'll call the office and find out about that one.
there's one in West Dearborn, and you should call if that's an issue for you.
And I want to find out if it's taxable after age 66, because my understanding is that it is. That it is still taxable, part of your taxable income.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is the money from Social Security that they want back because you earn too much.
That would be quite a chunk.
It could be, yeah. Well, my amount per month I couldn't live on, but if it wasn't for my state of Michigan teacher's pension, it's less than $2,000 a month. It's $1,800 a month. Now, for some of you who've retired earlier, say that's a lot of money, but I did work 40 years, folks. Thank you. Full time. And I think I earned that, but I couldn't live on $1,800 a month. I'm sorry. I have a house in Dearborn and, food and taxes alone, $4,000 a year. I guess
and
I should.
He likes to eat at nice restaurants too.
Every now and then, it's true. We all have our little luxury things. I don't spend much on clothes and that. I'm wearing jeans today. In any event, you got to look into these things, folks. It takes a while to research these things. I've been researching retirement through the internet mainly, and I think I bought about 8 or 9 books. Boy, I spent a fortune on books. There's one from the New York Times, and it's entitled "Retire on Less Than You Think."
And what is that magic figure?
Well, a lot of people think they need a lot more money, and it's a matter of readjusting your lifestyle, of course. That's
yes.
Move to a place that's cheaper to live in or whatever, but So it wasn't that helpful. But the point is, I'm still doing research. Like, I didn't know this other fact until just I read it last week in one of these national magazines about the money coming back at age 66. And I
want to see that in writing from the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, it's probably a small print somewhere.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a footnote.
Okay. If you are living in Dearborn Heights, I know we have a lot of loyal listeners of Dearborn Heights. The public is invited to join the Dearborn Heights Chamber of Commerce at noon on January 13th at the Warren Valley Banquet Center for the annual State of the City Luncheon. Mayor Dan Pletko will be the guest speaker at the annual address. This is earlier in Dearborn. I think it's February or March. At one year, I thought Mayor Guido did it in late March. That is the State of the City address. Guests will hear a report about 2008 and will learn about future plans for 2009. That's the Warren Valley Banquet Center, and this is, again, noon on January 13th, which is a Tuesday. So if you've got a daytime job, right, tough. Take your lunch. But it can't get in for free. Here in Dearborn, at least, you can go and watch at City Hall, City Council meeting, this for free. Of course, they don't give you any food. But the cost for the lunch is $15, and you've got to RSVP to the chamber. What chamber? The Chamber of Commerce in Dearborn Heights. So take care of that. 274-7480, or you can email them DearbornHeightsChamber.com. It's always good to see it in person. Little social event. And see what's happening in Dearborn Heights. Here's something that people always forget, and I actually wonder why the city can't do this, except I guess there's just too many fire hydrants. Dearborn property owners are reminded it's required for them to remove snow from the hydrants located on their properties. This allows firefighters to access the hydrants immediately in the event of an emergency. They say it's not something you may think about, but it's very important that both residents and business owners keep the hydrants located on their properties clear of snow. People should check their hydrants after every heavy snowfall, and especially after snowplows come through the area. Yeah, the city snowplows come through, and if the hydrant is near the street, they not only fill your driveway with heavily packed snow, but they also cover up the fire hydrants, which are really city property. I don't know how you feel about this. I think the fire department should clear it themselves, but that would be, I mean, how many fire hydrants are there? Oh my gosh, there'd be, in Dearborn, there are 30,000 homes. I bet there's at least 10 or 15,000 fire hydrants. I guess it's just not feasible.
That's not their job.
If the city went around with a truck that had de-icer in it, you know, and they sprayed every fire hydrant, it probably would kill all the grass in the area, and then they have another lawsuit or something. But, so you've got to clear out the snow around your fire hydrant, and it's for your own protection and the protection of people in the neighborhood. Maybe you want to take turns with the other folks in the neighborhood near you. A couple, you know, every house, every week, it's their responsibility to do it or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you don't talk to your neighbors. So there you go. Tim Skupik, his opinion is always covered in the Press and Guide on Wednesdays, usually. He's the public television off-the-record TV show host, and that's on both Channel 56, and if you have cable, WUOM, FUM, which is WFUM, that's, I think, Channel 8 on my WOW system in Dearborn, and that's on Friday night at 9 p.m., and that's when it's actually run live, or I guess it's always pre-recorded. No, I think it's, I don't know, but that's the first time it's shown anywhere, and I think on Channel 56 in Detroit, it's sometime Sunday morning, around Sunday noon somewhere. So he is probably the most distinguished and most knowledgeable news person that has been in Lansing for over 30 years, and he talks about what's going to happen to Jennifer Granholm. They think, and he's got confirmation, that if Obama offered her a job, she would say adios to Michigan in a flash, in a second. Hasn't had a lot of fun here. However, as you probably noticed, all the cabinet positions are filled, and Granholm wasn't chosen for any of them. And so it's a real question about whether or not something else might come up. They think, and again, you should read the story. It's a great column. I always read it myself, all the way through to myself, in the Press and Guide. here, that they think that maybe she's going to get a judgeship on the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. But for that to happen, there has to be a vacancy, and none is on the immediate horizon. Unless they create a new judgeship. They could create, because there's a heavy workload, a lot of criminals out there, and so they could create a new appeals court judge. And the problem is, you know, to do that, that has to be done by the federal government. You have to look at population. Michigan's population continues to decline. Ohio wants another judgeship because their population continues to go up, and I assume their crime numbers continue to go up too. So it doesn't look too likely that she might get the judgeship either. Oh, well. Good luck to her and good luck to Michigan. She was a significant force, to say this in favor of Jennifer Granholm, in the transition team, I think, helping Barack Obama make some pretty good decisions. Experienced people, okay, mostly Clintonians, but people that had experience and also had a diversity of opinions, too. So we'll see where that goes. But just in case you're wondering there. It's in the paper, so we'll do it now. On February 17th, direct broadcast television. So if you're watching not on cable but from an antenna, either on your TV set or on your house, on the top of your house, that signal won't work. Okay, after February 17th, you might have seen some television spots about this. It won't work. It just, well, that can't be true. The whole United States of America wouldn't just kill all broadcast television. That's true. They're killing analog broadcast television signals. They're going to broadcast with digital ones. What does that mean? Well, there's more options and possibilities for programming. It's not necessarily going to look any better. They're not broadcasting... Well, they are broadcasting, excuse me, in HD, but you have to have an HD TV, which costs a bundle, in order to appreciate that. So you could watch in HD, or you could continue watching, but here's what you got to do. Either buy a new TV that has a digital tuner in it. That's the magic words, digital TV tuner, and they're out there everywhere. So buy a new TV by February 17th, plug that in with its antenna or to the antenna system you have now, and everything will be fine. Okay? Regular channels, but a few more options. Like Channel 4 might become four little teeny channels or one big HD channel. So WDIV has, and we don't know what they're going to do because they don't know what they're going to do. Every now and then, we suspect some of the traditional channels in the first year will have some HD programming. So if you got an HD set, which with a digital tuner, not all of the old HD sets have digital tuners in them. Careful, people. You get a sale on an HD set and you find out it doesn't have a digital tuner in it because it was made 2 or 3 years ago, even if they're just selling it new in the box now. Interesting question to ask. But here's what I did, and I don't know what Susan did here, but I went to this website. It's DTV2009.gov, our federal government at work, since they're going to kill your television, your analog set. They set up this website a couple years ago, and you can get a coupon. If you're one person, it's a $40 coupon. If there's a second person in your house, you know, wife, significant other, you can get two coupons. And then you have a range of choices. I went to a local vendor, and I won't say who, that had a brand that was recommended by Consumer Reports magazine. So that's something to look into. I think it's either the current issue or... Yeah, it's a current issue of Consumer Reports. Don't have to buy it. Just go to your public library and look it up. There's a list of the top 10 out of about 70 different models of digital television converters. And retail is anywhere from $40 or $50 to $80 to $110. But there is one local merchant that is selling a model that I think should be retailing for about $80, and they're just doing it for $40, the cost of a coupon. And you pay the sales tax, and that's what I got. And it's got a lot of features, but they're all pretty good, folks. That's the good news.
Yeah, but if you have cable television...
Yeah, you don't need it.
You don't need any...
Because the cable people are going to do the converting from analog to digital for you and send the converted signal down the cable lines to your house. So, for some people, it might be an option is to get cable TV. But remember, that's going to be a minimum of $50 to $60 or $70 a month for almost nothing but basic service. And so it's a huge chunk, folks, of
so
your
the,
budget.
So the price of cable is going to go up because?
Well, just because of all prices going up.
To $90, you said?
No.
Oh.
No, I said the least you're going to find cable service for, either WOW or Comcast in this area, is about $50-$60 a month. That's the basic package. Can't get any lower than that. I don't know if there's a senior discount. I didn't ask
but
about
if you,
that.
You know, if you get the package, if you have the telephone and the internet and the cable all together, you should be able to get a good deal.
Well, I have the slowest internet and the basic package from WOW, and I'm not advertising for WOW. It's a couple bucks cheaper than Comcast. I don't have the phone because I use my cell phone as my home phone, so that's not in the package. So I'm paying $69 a month starting this month.
Oh, that's a good
so
deal.
So that's the slowest internet I can get from them, which is 2 megabauds per second or something. It's pretty fast. It's slowest, though. I could get faster if I wanted to pay more money. No special movie packages, just basic cable, and it's $69 a month. And so I'm just saying, over a year, $70 a month times 12, that's $840 a year. So it is cheaper initially, like my friend here at the college that's on CDTV shows, but he doesn't have cable, to go on the internet, get this coupon, and it'll take like a week or two for them to send it to you, and then go to a local store. I went to like a drugstore, and they were selling their set. They had two different models, and Radio Shack, two different models. One was like 45, and the other was 65, and you could choose which one, but you only get the credit for $40. But there is one major merchant in town that will just give you this pretty good model for the $40 coupon, and then you just pay sales tax. I think it was $2.40 that I had to put out. So although I have cable, you say, well, why do you need the box, Jay?
Yeah,
well,
why do you need the box, Jay?
In case cable went down. You know, oh. If it's only $2.40, if cable TV goes down, and it hasn't gone down in a long time, and it's better than, you know, the satellite stuff when snow can fill up your dish, but, you know, it's something to think about. I'd like to have a backup plan, you know, so I can still receive something, and if it doesn't cost anything except $2.40, I think it's good to have the converter box.
How does it cost you $2.40 if you...
You're just paying the sales tax. The coupon paid the $40 that the store was selling it for, even though I know it's a unit that cost at least $20
more than
that.
What you are saying is that you would still continue to get all the cable channels.
Because of the internet.
Oh.
Because the internet service. So although somebody told me that WOW would have, there's more stations to watch, and so I'm willing to have the cable service, yeah.
So if the cable went down in a weather storm, a snowstorm, you would still continue to get it with the cable box. Is that what you're saying?
No, with the digital television
converter. With the converter.
And the indoor antenna that I have already, it's sort of sitting off to the side, and I can plug it in anytime I want to, then I could receive the broadcast signal, which wouldn't be that many channels. You know, it's 13 UHF, VHF channels 2 through 13, and then a few of the UHF, which is channel 20 and 56 and 62, you know, a couple of those. So old-fashioned television, okay, the broadcast channels. Channel 9 is in there, of course, from Canada, and channel 32 from Canada if you're got a good enough antenna to pick it up. So you'd only have, with broadcast television, about 20 channels at most that you could watch. But it would be all the main, you know, networks, except and Fox is channel 62, or channel 2 in Detroit, and CBS is channel 62. So you'd have pretty much all those same broadcast networks. You wouldn't have cable news. And I know how much you love that, Susan.
Oh, I have to have cable news.
You know, whether it's MSNBC or CNN or...
CNBC.
Or Fox and their news channel, if you want to call it news, and so on. By the way, remember, if we express any opinions on this show, they're not necessarily those of anyone else here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, or students. No. Okay, so we got the, I hope that cleared up everybody about that. That website again is DTV, Disney Television, no, Digital TV 2009, that is 2009.gov, GOV. And they'll send you a coupon, whether you use it or not. It's up to you, but they'll send you a coupon if you can. But you have to request it through the internet. That's okay.
Coupons are important. They can save money.
Yep. Now, there's a couple of comments here this week from Jim Hightower, and I'm sorry to say that the Press and Guide newspaper is not continuing the Jim Hightower syndicated column. Now, maybe they'll go back to it. I was so happy in December when I saw his weekly syndicated column appear in the Press and Guide, without a picture of him, though, without any special headlines. It looked just like a regular news story, except it did have byline, you know, a little words that this is from Jim Hightower. And it is fun. He's a good communicator. And since they're not doing it, we're going to make up for it by listening to a couple here. Here's one that talks about, well, we'll do it in chronological order. He came up with this one first. Barons of media ignore the masses. Okay. And let's check the box and play this right now. So here's Jim Hightower's comment about the people that own commercial media, not WHFR, in the United States, and what they say and what the consequences are. So take a listen, and we'll be back to talk about it.
The MBAs and corporate bean counters who run America's newspapers these days blame the internet, fickle advertisers, America's education system, unions, and even you and me, a.k.a. the stupid public, for the ongoing decline in readership. There is, however, one group they steadfastly refuse to blame: themselves. Thumb through the typical newspaper and chances are you won't find yourself in it. Not you personally, but working stiffs, regular folks, the hoi polloi. News corporations are in the business of mass media, yet they virtually ignore the masses, which just might be one reason the masses increasingly ignore newspapers. Last year, the Washington Post ran a front-page story asking why the public is gloomier than the economy. Not a single worker was interviewed. No mention was made about declining wages, lack of health care coverage, busted pensions, or other real reasons that real people might feel a bit gloomy. Also last year, the New York Times printed a story about the strength of the job market. Corporate representatives were interviewed, but not a single worker. Likewise, the Wall Street Journal did a piece decrying the fact that their promotion of free trade deals keeps meeting stiff resistance from organized labor. Not a single worker or labor rep was asked to explain their viewpoint. In a study of economy-related articles in major news outlets through 2007, the Center for American Progress found that media barons focus on, quote, elite sources for their stories and ignore ordinary workers. The result is a dangerous, willfully ignorant narrowing of our nation's democratic dialogue, excluding the perspective of the majority of Americans. This is Jim Hightower saying, the real bias of the media is not to the left or to the right, but to the thin strata of economic elites at the top of our society. So it's no wonder that the workaday majority is seeking other sources of news.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Okay, Susan, what did you think of that? We were all listening very closely here.
Well, I think it is partially true. It depends on what station you're listening to. I think if you go to a lot of the national coverage in newspapers, cable television, on the internet, whatever, they talk to experts and they quote a lot of experts. But as far as local news, if you're into watching local news, here are local Channel 4, Channel 7, Channel 2. They always give local stories. Their reporters are out on the streets of Metro Detroit and Michigan interviewing real people, telling stories about what's happening within our own community. And I think probably some of the local papers in Dearborn are the same. They're telling, as we quoted a few weeks ago, about the restaurants in Dearborn that are closing, and they told the story, the personal story, of a restaurant that was closing that had been there for many years. So I think it depends on where you look for the news.
Yeah, and you can't have enough local news, as I've said many, many times in this show, and it's not just a slogan, but what matters to you most is what is right next door. That should matter to you most, right? if that house falls down, it'll probably hurt your house, you know, or the people that move in, or the services in your community for fire and police and street sweeping. And I mean, these things matter to you every day, and you need to find out more about what's happening, especially local education too, the education of your own children. And the children in your community, they're going to be the future. They're going to be deciding maybe your destiny as a senior, your situation even. And we need to do a better job of that. And so local news has been, in very specifically local news, has been disappearing from the news in the free press. I know I haven't subscribed to news in free press for a long, long time because of that. And some other reasons. Poor writing also. But I do subscribe to both local Dearborn papers. Thank goodness we have two, and looking forward to the Times Herald's new 2009 edition, supposedly be out on the newsstands on January 14th. They took a month off for the holidays, and we need those two papers. I hope they both survive. And it's true that if you can get more local news, or at least if you get the appearance of what seems to be local specific news, it's usually disaster or crisis news, somebody starving or hurt or injured. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. That's better for ratings. Commercial television, they don't do stories about, you know, how to solve the problems. They just talk about the crisis of the day. And there's a big difference between the two, and newspapers can do both.
Well, we used to get a lot more in-depth reporting from, you know, the big stations, and they used to go all over the world and report about other countries, international reporting. So we don't even get international reporting that much anymore, other than, you know, some military crisis and how many people were killed. And then there's a few moments a day devoted to that. But, you know, many of the countries in the world, we don't even hear about them anymore. We don't know what's going on in other countries. And so just all of the news has narrowed, I think.
Yeah, we are getting some mention and comments about the war that Israel is waging against Hamas in the Gaza area, which the bombing continues 7 days in a row now. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deaths. It was over 300 the last I heard, but it might be 400 or 500 by now, of people, most of whom are innocent citizens. Some are the Hamas militants who are still lobbing a few missiles into Israel, southern part of Israel. They're not hitting anybody. Nobody's getting hurt. Just a minor symbolic response, I think, to the massive Israeli attack. And you need to do some research on that, folks, if you haven't. The point of the matter is our national media have not shown the pictures and gone into the depth they should on this. This is a international horrendous disaster equal to some of the genocidal problems in Africa that we hadn't had much coverage of either here in the media. So if we really want to be informed about the world, I'm afraid you'll have to watch the BBC World Report, either on BBC America, which is not on basic cable, or on Channel 56, that every night they do have, Monday through Friday, a BBC half-hour summary of the news, an Americanized version.
And what time is that?
Well, it varies whether you're watching that on WOW, the Channel 8, they have it a little different. I think, is it 8 to 8:30? One of our loyal listeners will know, but call Channel 56 if you're not sure. It's every night at the same time, and it's very good. Also, our friends, non-commercial WDET, when they go off the air from their programming at midnight, it's BBC World Radio News. Constantly through the whole night. So
and
you
I
can,
agree
if
you
want to stay up that late, you can catch up on what the world really thinks is important. And this is a big deal. And America has a responsibility here because we are the ones that are giving Israel $15 billion in most of their weapons. $15 billion a year in most of their weapons was the last count I saw. And so if we think it's something they shouldn't do, we just stop the money. We stop the weapons. And I think that will get their attention. Jimmy Carter tried and failed, unfortunately. And we haven't had really any successful effort from the last administration. 18 days to go, you know. 18 days until Barack becomes president. So.
That is a very good point, Jay, that you made about weapons dealing. And weapons dealing is a big business all around the world. And when you mention Africa, you know, there have been terrible, horrible problems in Africa for years and years and years. And we do hear so very little about it, why it keeps going on, who's causing it, where are they getting their weapons from. My understanding is they're getting a lot of their weapons from China and Russia, and they want to get in there and overtake the natural control of the natural resources from Africa. But we hear very, very little about it.
Yeah, after I want to play one more Jim Hightower commentary. Again, I haven't done that for a couple of weeks. I kept expecting to see his comments, which are not necessarily the same. His written columns are not necessarily the same as his audio, radio things. We subscribe here at WHFR, no cost to us, non-commercial, to and we have the access to these 2 minute and 10 second commentaries, and he has almost one every day or two. And so I'm picking and choosing. But after he did his comment about barons of media ignore the masses that we just heard, he then heard about the Detroit News. And this is his comment, including the Detroit situation. Talk about local and relevant at the national scale, though. It's rather pessimistic. One step further in that same line that he was speaking before. This is entitled Death of Journalism, Jim Hightower from jimhightower.com.
A Detroit newspaper executive has announced a startling breakthrough. We think it's time to take a geometric leap forward in what we've known as newspapers, he informed the masses. And with that, he leapt right off the media cliff. His breakthrough is to cancel daily home deliveries of the Detroit papers, leaving customers to stumble out each day to find a news rack that'll swallow a bunch of their quarters and maybe cough up a pared-down version of the real thing. Or, he says, people can read a virtual edition of the paper on the web, even though most Detroiters don't use the Internet. The printed media is shrinking itself in so many ways these days. Take the Cox chain, which owns the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Austin American-Statesman, and 15 other papers. It's abandoning its Washington bureau. Even with a new administration taking power and making big policy moves that'll affect every reader of the Cox papers, the chain is taking its journalists off the national beat and eliminating their investigative jobs. Other papers are making similar cutbacks, claiming that there's no need for multiple news organizations chasing the same stories when they can all get feeds from a couple of wire bureaus. Yeah, that's the old dig-it-out American journalistic spirit, isn't it? Let someone feed us the news. Holy Mark Twain. This is Jim Hightower saying some news executives want to move even farther from the actual source of news. For example, the honcho of Media News Group, which controls 54 U.S. newspapers, says, one thing we're exploring is having one news desk for all of our newspapers, maybe even offshore. So whether covering Congress or your city council, the breaking news will come to you from someone without a clue, watching a webcast from a cubicle in India. These bean counters in charge of our newspapers are saving money, but they're killing journalism.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
So we're back here at the WHFR.fm, the station making waves. This is the WHFR Journal Program, and my name is Jay Koronick, and with me is Susan Morrell, WHFR News Director. Today, coming up at 2 o'clock, Highway 61, the return of Joanne Korchinska. We did her Best of 2008 Blues show last week and got a lot of calls about that. People really enjoying that sort of summary list, which is still available on our website if you want to go back and search for last Friday's date, whatever it was, December 26th, I think it was. And so we expect her in at 2 o'clock today. Yeah, get that scenario at the end of Jim Hightower's comment. There's somebody in India who's looking at the Internet, like cityofdearborn.org, and is summing up the story, which is then going to be turned around and put in the newspaper, and they don't have a clue about what is really happening locally. You know, what are the real, the social dynamic, the multifaceted situation that is the real world. You need a person, live person there who's constantly in touch with as many of those issues and perspectives in order to give, well, in order to make the right choice for stories, but also to give those multiple perspectives, not just one. And so we can't let journalism die, whether it's a newspaper or through the internet. We need local reporters. We need live local reporters talking about local things that to solve local problems, as well as the national stories, and hopefully they're better balanced than in the future than they are now due to commercial journalism. Remember, the BBC is not commercial at its core. In England, they're supported by public revenues. People pay taxes, about $200 a year on their TV sets, per TV. I guess a lot of homes don't have more than one TV for that reason. But so they have a secure financial setting there. And it's true that internationally, BBC America and so on, they're able to market their DVDs and their videos and get money from public broadcasting and providing their news shows and pay cable, pays the money for their service. And so they are making profits that way, but they're doing it without commercials. And that's except for themselves. And so it's really, that's why they're the largest, and I think I call them the most responsible news organization in the world in terms of balance, in terms of points of view and perspective. And you say, well, they don't push America. They don't see America very favorably. No, America's not number one. We're only one of all the countries in the world. And to the BBC, they see us for what we are, I think, which is not all good sometimes. And I think it's good to know. For those people. I know a few people here at the college, they watch the CBC at night at 10 o'clock. The Canada Broadcasting Company non-commercial news operation, because they give a better perspective on the U.S., a more balanced perspective than our own news media. Okay, they're not just cheerleaders all the time. They're actually giving you news, balanced news. And sometimes you have to go outside this country in order to get that perspective. Well, I've talked for a little while. Susan has a point of view, which she's just going to summarize. And it does have to do with the perspective, Russia will bury us. But a Russian, is this Russian professor, Susan, that feels that it's the end of the U.S. as we know it?
Yes, he's a Russian professor. I got the article from the Wall Street Journal. You can go online, Wall Street, WSJ.com. He is a Russian professor. His name is Panarin, and he's been predicting that the United States will fall apart in 2010. He's 50 years old. He's a former KGB analyst. He is dean of the Russian Foreign Ministries Academy for Future Diplomats. He is invited to Kremlin receptions. He lectures students, publishes books, and appears in the media as an expert on U.S.-Russia relations.
Okay, what's going to happen in 2010 that's not happening now?
Well, he's predicting that mass immigration, economic decline, and moral degradation will trigger a civil war next fall and the collapse of the dollar. Around the end of June 2010 or early July, the United States will break into six pieces, with Alaska reverting to Russian control.
What's going to cause the civil war?
Well, he says that mass immigration, economic decline, and moral degradation. Okay, he based the forecast on classified data supplied to him by FAPC, which is the Russian equivalent of the U.S. National Security Agent. And he predicts that economic, financial, and demographic trends will provoke a political and social crisis in the United States. When the going gets tough, the wealthier states will withhold funds from the federal government and effectively secede from the union. Social unrest up to and including the Civil War will follow. The United States will then split along ethnic lines and foreign powers will move in. California will form the nucleus of what he calls the California Republic and will be part of China.
I've got to stop that because some of our listeners are having heart attacks out there. I apologize to you. I know that's. First of all, he's a Russian. He lives in Russia. He's quoting Russian information. So obviously, the country itself has no direct liking to us. Even though George Bush thinks, boy, that Putin guy, He's really a great guy.
And Michigan is going to be part of the Central North American Republic, and we will be controlled by Canada.
Well, maybe we'll get national health care then, huh?
Well, in his theory, he says United States foreign debt is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And he predicts that China and Russia will take over Washington's role as a global financial regulator.
Okay, just one final perspective here. What's the date on that?
This is from December 31st, 2008.
Yeah, of course, gloom and doom at the end of the year. But what's your source?
WallStreetJournal.com. WSJ.com.
So the Wall Street Journal had guts enough to go crazy in regard to the
it's pretty scary
story, yeah.
But if we'll be with Canada, it might not be that bad.
Well, that's why I said get some national health care for the first time. But I think the demographic issue is something to worry about over 10 years, and maybe not by 2010. But, the immigration issue has to be solved and resolved one way or the other because cultural changes will come about. I don't see the state splitting apart, but I see even Michigan. We're paying more in taxes to the federal government than what we're getting back in terms of federal government services. Now you say, well, the federal government, they got to fight some wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and so they need the money, so that's why they're taking it from. But so some of the wealthier states and even some of the poorer states like Michigan, we're saying, look, we need a lot of help here. And it's more than these bailout things. We need all kinds of social services, and we don't really want to pay this kind of federal taxes. Now, we had a Civil War 1860 about whether or not we could be more independent states, whether we could break apart, whether we could secede. I don't know anybody here that's talking about secession being an option, and the federal government would let that happen. They have their troops. They have their army. They'll bring them back, if necessary, into this country to make a police state out of it before they would let secession happen. Those are all gloom and doom forecasts. But we have some big problems. I think, let me put a positive twist on this.
Please
for
do.
The end of the show. We have big problems in this country that must be begun to be resolved.
And January 20th.
Exactly. And quickly. And they say, oh, we don't want to move too quick because you might make a mistake. No. We've got plans that are already there, that have been there in years, whether it's about the environment, about energy, about the economic bailouts of one person or another. And it looks like this reinvestment and redirection is going to happen. And I think we should give all the support we can to our elected representatives. And yes, we can. What? Yes, we can change.
Go Obama.
We've got to change for the better. We cannot do business as usual. Well, there's no business to do anymore. So I think it's the best time to get on a better track for the future and to reunite ourselves. I mean, I don't want to let some stupid Russians prophecy happen. Do you?
Well, I hope not. No. But healthcare from Canada would be nice. But okay. Anyway, Hillary and Bill, please bring peace to the Middle East. Thank you.
Okay. We're expecting, in fact, Joanne Kortesca may already be in the door. I haven't been looking at the monitor for a minute here. Bob Herbert has an editorial. The op-ed page, the editorial page of the New York Times. You can go to nytimes.com. This is from Saturday, December 27th. Bob Herbert's editorial is entitled "Stop Being Stupid." And he said, I've got a New Year's resolution, a new slogan for the country. America must resolve to be smarter going forward than we have been for the past several years. And we must, and to conclude it, I won't read the in-between, we need to start living within our means and get past the idea that the essence of our culture is the consumption of trashy consumer goods. It's time to stop being stupid. So check into that.